The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Can you describe the ruckus, sir?
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday afternoon. Happy Veterans Day out there, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the fan, or youtube.com/1080AM, the fan. Party on, party people. Let's dominate. The Portland Trailblazers lost last night to the Memphis Grizzlies, as expected.
Yeah, they were actually 1.5-point dogs coming into the night.
Yeah, which no Ja Morant is probably why.
Well, I mean, no, the Grizzlies were favored.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but I mean, no Ja, yeah. no Desmond Bain, no Marcus Smart, yeah. And their Grizzlies are still favored?
Oh, you were surprised by that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, 134-89 yeah. Told us the story of that game.
Yeah. And it wasn't just that they lost by a lot. They got stunted on. I mean, every single player last night for the Grizzlies had a moment of just dog walking Portland, whether it's Jay Huff blocking six shots and knocking down threes and then gliding to the rim for a finger roll. Yuki, who the entire crowd went nuts for, coming in throwing bounce passes through entire groups of defenders. Scottie Pippen Jr. going between the legs on a fast break off the ground for a lob.
Getting nutmegged is not great.
I mean, just you know, they just got stunted on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was...
Well, and they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn shooting.
No.
34 for 100.
Yeah.
From the field.
Really bad. Really bad.
Whoa. And then we know they're not a good three-point shooting team. 4 of 42 is gross, because all that tells you is that they were just hucking and chucking at some point. And it looked lethargic. It looked like they didn't want to be there. You've said this several times. They play hard for Chauncey Billups. They did not play hard for Chauncey Billups last night, though. And when you asked Chauncey about that, he had probably the most blunt answers, which I actually appreciate Chauncey saying, and being so blunt, the most blunt that he has been as a head coach.
I told him that anybody that sleeps well tonight, you're a loser. It's just that simple. You're a loser. You sleep well after this one, you're a loser.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, and it was, look, so peel back the curtain here a little bit. Here's what normal night looks like. Horn goes off, you know, media descends from section 113 down to the floor, across the court, go into the tunnel, go into the media room, wait there probably about 5, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 at the absolute most for Chauncey to come in and do the press conference, maybe 20 minutes. And we're looking around like, okay, like we knew what was going on in there. He came in and PR probably tried to calm him down before he came in, but you could tell he had been yelling. And when he walked in and sat down, you pretty much knew it was coming, but here you go.
I mean, it was just embarrassing, to be honest with you.
That was the F word.
We was soft as hell the whole game. Nobody really fought. It was just embarrassing for everybody, you know. That's just not who we are, you know. It really isn't. There's no excuse for that. And you have a lot of rough nights in this league, obviously. But I don't even care. It just wasn't even that. You know, it was like our guys just showed up because they had to be here but didn't want to play.
Yikes.
He's not wrong. And really, outside of the deep bench, it was true. Ant was awful last night. Jeremy was going through the motions. I thought DA at least competed a little bit for portions of the game. Shaden was listless.
I didn't, full disclosure, I watched
football
probably a quarter and a half. No, and I just said, you saw them come out of the gate, yeah, and you were like, what are they doing? Yeah. Like, at the very end of the first quarter, Shaden Sharp, it hits at the end of the quarter there, mm-hmm, to be down 31-17.
Yeah. No, I used the Chris Paul meme, the YouTube header of like Chris Paul hits three to cut deficit to 42. Like, because that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, Shaden got a put back. Yeah.
And at that point, they were, what were they like? They 3 of 17, yeah, or something from, yeah, the field.
Yeah, let me pull it up.
In the first quarter? What was that first quarter?
Because they were 6 of 21, 1 of 10 from three. But they started out, I think, like 3 of 16. It was really bad.
It was really ugly. And you just went, it's one of those nights. And then I was like, well, there's football.
Oh, yeah. No, and the funny thing is this is why I laugh at fans in a little bit. Like, they're running Chauncey's basic offense. Da-da-da-da-da. It's like, okay, first of all, they've installed a new offense from Nate Bjorkgren. They're not running last year's scheme. They're still installing a new offense. So for all of the, they need to change it, they did. Remember, they brought in a new coaching staff.
Well, we've talked about that.
Yes.
The movement, the
they're actually doing stuff actually, off ball.
We talked about this after the very first game of the season where it said, this finally looks like a team that is not playing with C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard, yes, on the floor.
Like, there's more movement side to side. It's like
emphasis on mid-range, yeah, and the strengths of what some of your shooters have.
Yeah, and it's more, like, could they do more? Yes, but also, just talking to guys, there's not enough talent on the team. There's not enough shot-creating talent on the team. And for everyone's like, Scoot Henderson needs to play more. He's better than Ant. No, he's not. He's not. Full stop. And Shaden Sharp better get his S together because he played with no force. Mm. Ant was awful last night, and he knows it. Look, you guys didn't hear it because the video camera had already been taken down. Look, again, I'll give you a little more peek behind the curtain. Normally, Chauncey finishes up. We go to the locker room, and we go do stuff from there. We get to the locker room, we have to wait outside security and PR until things are ready to go, which means, you know, guys are mostly either, you know, not all naked or the room's not a complete mess or whatever. Mm-hmm. We go down there, we're waiting outside, and they go, hey, you know what? We're going to send somebody to the podium. Why? Because they probably tore the place to hell.
Probably have to replace a whiteboard.
Yeah, look, and again, good.
Yeah.
Good. But Ant came out and spoke, and there's no, I don't think anybody recorded it. Ant was pretty damn emotional. You could hear it in his voice. Like, look, I would imagine he got a pretty severe part of the tongue lashing. That was Ant's worst game I've ever seen him play as a pro. Mm-hmm. I love the guy. There's no mistake about that. As a human being, I have a very, very, very good relationship with him.
He had as many turnovers as points, and that is not a good sign for a guy who is one of the few creators on a team.
And he was listless last night. And I think the big thing is that no matter what they do right now, stuff is just not clicking offensively. And I think the butt kicking from Minnesota bled into this one. And I think the tanking of the last year is bleeding into this.
That is the dangerous part about tanking. That's where comments like what Chauncey Billups made last night can go one of two ways.
Yes.
He will either get this team to play for him again, mm-hmm, or they are going to fold, mm-hmm, and this is going to get real ugly, mm-hmm, real quick.
And look, and everybody says, oh, you just love Chauncey, you're going to bat for him, you know, you just was only saying nice things. No, I have maintained, I have said this on air and off air, the one thing that matters during this tanking stuff is that everybody's pulling in the same direction. It's hard to do that over 82 games when you're getting your teeth kicked in.
Especially over multiple seasons.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Like, these are humans, and the whole, like, binary of play the kids, that's all I care about. These are human beings.
You know who plays the kids and went down that route? Detroit.
Yes, and they got destroyed, and their culture got shredded. And now they look better because guess what they did? They got some institutional knowledge around some guys. They got some floor space. Like, they've got – it's not perfect, but it's better. Mm-hmm. And they're going to find nights where they get absolutely curb stomped. And look, if they go the other way, they need to fire Chauncey.
Yeah.
Like, full stop.
If they go down the road where this team just says – we're pros. We're not going to take this. We're out. Because right now you lost 127-102, 134-89.
And look, the Minnesota loss, I didn't think they played terribly. I thought Ant Edwards was just god tier.
Well, you get him two games twice in a row.
Look, in a back to back
tomorrow and Wednesday.
And here's the thing, that could be a make or not even could. It will very likely be a make or break period if they don't come out there and have. And look, I think that there will be a response from guys. There will be, if nothing else, some internal pride. And if it does go sideways and they do end up moving on from Chauncey, and very likely Nate Bjorkgren will become the interim head coach, they'll get a coach bump, a couple games.
Yeah.
But it'll revert back to what this is. And that's been always my point about this season, of like, you want to bring in a new coach so you can hand them the reins to be bad for a year? It's never made any sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever a good option to go down like that path. But you don't even have to talk about last night individually. Like, again, the only guys last night who were remotely competitive, Klingon to an extent, because I think he wanted to fight Zach Edey. They went at it more than a couple times.
I'm here for it.
Time Lord, because he doesn't have another switch. Denny couldn't hit a shot, but I think he played hard.
And that was a question that I have with Shaden moving into that starting lineup. Denny now moves to the bench.
And it
looked like it affected him rhythmically.
Yes.
Because when did he have his best season? Last year in Washington, what did they do? They moved him into the starting lineup.
And then only that, they gave him the ball.
Yeah.
And I think, look, part of this that will, I think, solve itself is when they do make some moves, it will open some things up. But I don't expect that to happen anytime soon. But organizationally, they want guys pissed off. They want guys like Denny getting bumped to the bench. Look, he walked by me going out for warmups last night. Normally, I get a little fist bump. Hey, what's up, Denny? My man was focused.
Yeah.
And pretty clearly not happy, which good. He shouldn't be.
But I mean, that also, think of what that does. You give up 134 points. What that does to you defensively with Denny Avdija, like, even if he's not hitting his shots, which he hasn't all season long, defensively, he gives you more matchups than when you have Shaden Sharpe and Anthony Simons in the backcourt, which defensively limited on both.
Sure. But I mean, you've got, and I've seen a lot of people say, well, Scoot's been better than Ant. He hasn't. Even as bad as Ant has been, he hasn't.
We were talking last week about how Scoot had been looking listless, as you put it.
Like I said, it's not a thing. And
that comes to me is like, we're talking about multiple guys over multiple stretches. We have a whole game where it's the entire roster. Yeah. Then you start going, now the coach isn't getting through anymore.
Yeah. And that's what you wonder if that's the case. And because this thing can spiral like that.
Yes, it can.
And look, I'm not advocating for them to make a move just because, but if it's...
Firing Chauncey Billups right now is not going to make this thing better.
No. And that's what I keep trying to tell everybody. It'll make them feel better about thumping their chests again the same way we did with Terry Stotts.
Yeah.
How did that work out?
Not good.
It doesn't... Like, there's no amount of coaching change that changes stuff when you're tanking. I've seen
they've people, won 27-33, 21 games since Terry.
And it's like, the whole thing is, and I will beat this drum forever, none of this stuff matters holistically until they have that centerpiece. Like, that's the thing that matters, because the thing that you need, the thing that everything revolves around. And I've seen people say, well, Oklahoma City and Orlando, they hired their coaches. Then they went through it. They had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and they had Franz Wagner, and they had Jalen Suggs. Like, they had cornerstones that they said, yes, these are guys that we feel like are going to be dudes, and we're going to commit a very large amount of money to them. And guess what they ended up being? Guys ended up being cornerstones that they committed a tremendous amount of money to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, is right now you're trying to figure out if Shaden Sharpe can be one of those guys. And look, I don't think it's any secret when Chauncey Billups said last year that we've got some guys that are a little too cool for school, who he was talking about. Because Shaden can be nonchalant. And one of the things that I heard about him coming out of the summer was he found that bleepity bleep switch. Like, he was going at people's necks because there's no question about the talent. But is he going to be a guy who's a killer?
And that's a hard part when you're on a team that is not trying to win and your roster isn't capable of stepping up and being that, having that instinct alongside you two.
And I think one of the big things is they're missing a vocal leader in that locker room. They're missing a guy who's been in the league for 10 years who's going to bark. And I've heard...
It's like, not JG. It's not DeAndre Ayton.
No, I've heard DA's tried to.
Yeah.
Like, he's tried to mix it up, go after guys. Like, he's trying to take that mantle on, but I don't think it's necessarily...
It's not who he's been through the first phase of his career.
No, and that's
thing. Actually what he was knocked for not being when he was in Phoenix.
And I've heard behind the scenes, he's tried to kind of be the rabble-rouser.
Yeah.
But...
Boy, it is cool to see he and Donovan Klingon, like the mentor leader type.
Yes, like he's trying.
Role
like,
that
look,
he is
DA's playing. Got his own stuff that he's had to deal with in the past, but he's actually tried to change. Like you can actively see it. He's stepping out, trying to take threes. He's not taking as many mid-rangers. He's diving to the rim harder. Even though he's still not great at screening, he's still like he's trying to be better at screening. And you're seeing like him taking. He could have lost his S when they drafted Donovan Klingon. Instead, what does he do? The first thing he does is go on IG and be like, let's get to work, big fella. And it wasn't fake. Donovan has said numerous times already how much DA has mattered to him.
But he's still not a guy that will step in and when you're in the fire, things are going wrong, he's going to pull you out of it.
Yep. And as much as Time Lord, as Robert Williams is like an unadulterated dude on the floor, don't get me wrong, he'll talk, but he's, again, a lot like Jeremy in the quiet leader.
Yeah.
They'll talk on the floor, but he's not a rah-rah guy.
Yeah. It reminds me of when Dame was a rookie and it was, hey, this is LaMarcus's team now. Mm-hmm. And you had LaMarcus who was not that guy.
He's not a rah-rah
he's
guy.
He's not a rah-rah leader guy. And everybody just looked at the rookie and said, no, that guy is the guy that natural leadership that we are going to follow you blindly. Now, they also, though, had guys that could be that with like Wesley Matthews.
And Robin.
Yeah.
Both those guys. Robin would he would knock off the BS very quickly. And Wes would bark on and off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick was the kind of guy who just kind of papered over everything, you know, just chill vibes all the time. But they all knew the pecking order.
And they don't have one on this team.
And
there's a lot of new pieces, no alpha that's going to step in and take that.
And that's the thing is like, that's where like you look at Detroit, they've got Cade Cunningham. Like you look at every one of these teams that has been young, and even though they're bad, they've got something that they know who is going to be there kind of thing. And I keep hearing the like, we need to prioritize Scoot, Shaden, and Donovan. No, you don't. Hmm. You need to prioritize whoever rises to the top. And right now, that's none of them.
Yeah. All right. Dang. 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Forward text. I'm get to some of your feedback before we go back to football, where we got to get a lot. There's so much in the NFL that we're going to have to hit over the last half of this show. But your feedback on the Portland Trail Blazers, Chauncey Billups, pretty stern comments out of Chauncey last night. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All right. Text, the Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. We're talking Portland Trailblazers, huh? Not a great night last night, but this question asks, okay, Danny, I hear what you're saying, but my question today is, are the laid-back, quiet-type vets that are comfortable being in Portland, even though we are tanking, are they the right kind of vets to be around the Sharps and the Scoots? That's a legit question.
I don't think there's a right type to have around, guys. And also, there's this whole holistic thing of, because I know, and I'm friends, to be frank, with Anthony, that I have this blind spot for him, this, that, or the other. It's like, that's not the case in the sense of Scoot has been unabashedly very bad. And this whole idea that Anthony is the thing and Chauncey is the thing keeping from Scoot getting better is based in fairy tale land. And right now, Scoot isn't doing enough to really even be considered a solid backup point guard. Like, that's a real thing. And so this whole idea that they need to pack up Anthony and just get him out here to make way for a guy that right now is profiling terribly doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, look, I hope he figures it out. I genuinely do. But just talking to people around the league, like, there are a lot of folks who are sitting there right now and going, look, man, I don't know if Scoot's a starting caliber point guard in the NBA.
Yeah.
And if you just say, well, get rid of Anthony Simons just to make room for Scoot Tennyson, that's mismanaging assets. And that takes away the human element side of all of this. Like, the likelihood is that Scoot will never be as good as him right now. Like, that's a general belief held around the league. And whether or not you think that Anthony Simons is the right player type to be in that spot, we can agree and disagree on that. That's fine. But the whole idea of, like, they need to get rid of DeAndre Ayton and Donovan Kleon needs to play 30 minutes a night. He's physically incapable of playing 20 minutes of consistent, productive basketball. And you want to play him 34 minutes? It's like, no, you have to have these guys to make it make sense. And look, I'm not saying it's been good. It's been, like, last night was egregious. And Ant has stunk through the first 11 games. Yeah, look, last night was the first effort game. They've just not performed in the other games. Like, that's more of what I expected. I think that's what everybody kind of expected.
We knew they didn't have shooters.
Yes.
And they haven't been shooting well. But last night was a collective effort on both fronts. So, We shall see.
Look, I had somebody on Twitter ask me about, what about the Wizards and the Pistons? And they're doing this, and they're doing just fine. And look, despite losing by 46 last night, the Wizards still have a worse point differential on the season than the Trailblazers. Because they've been getting smacked in the teeth, too.
Yeah.
They've got a negative 13.5 point differential. Like, all the Jazz are doing it. The Jazz have a negative 13.9 point differential. Like, this whole idea, like, if you take that game out last night, the Blazers' point differential is, like, right there, right alongside the Raptors, the Bulls, the 76ers, hilariously. But, like, that's where they are.
Yeah, but where are they going to be after the next two where you have a back-to-back against Minnesota?
And that's the thing is, you look at where this is going to go. It's funny is, this Wizards team just played this Grizzlies team, all shorthanded, and they got absolutely smashed. They got So, I think there's a little bit of the insular, like, no, we're actually getting it worse than everyone else. And when in reality, no.
Samesies.
Like, the bad teams are getting smacked. Like, that's, bad teams get smacked.
Who'd have thunk it?
It's just.
I never would have thought that.
Well, and the funny thing is, I keep hearing, the Blazers aren't playing their young guys. And I go through here, and I'm just sitting there like, wait, what do you mean they're not playing their young guys? Let me take a look at this here real quick. Let's just sort by minutes. Tomani Kamara is in his second year playing 30 minutes a night. Scoot Henderson in his second year is playing 26 minutes a night. Denny Avdia is playing 26 minutes a night. Shaedon Sharpe came back off of injury and is playing short, but has still played 20 minutes a night. Like, who's not playing? Ryan Repair?
Chris Murray?
Donovan Kleon is currently playing 14 minutes a night. And for everybody clamoring for more, if you can't see him huffing and puffing up the court, I don't tell you. Like, this year, and I said this from the second they drafted him, this year is about him getting comfortable to the NBA game, playing outside the paint, and getting in shape. Like NBA shape. Real? That's a real thing. Like Zach Edey, who you saw last night, who runs like the Terminator, can play 40 minutes a night in the NBA because he's an absolute freak who went to the NBA draft combine, not this past draft, but the combine before, and got told, you're too fat, you're out of shape, you can't play in the NBA because it's just not going to be a thing. I don't know what he did or who he worked with or what animal he sacrificed, but it's between him and Nikola Jokic as far as big guys who can play 40 minutes and just keep going. They are Michael Myers in the NBA. I've never seen anything like those guys do that. But expecting Donovan Klingon to be that after 2 years in college, playing 22 minutes a night, is just not something that makes any sense.
The upside is higher with Klingon because yes. He'll get to a point where he can play. You may see the ceiling be reached with Edey a little bit far sooner.
Although you did see him hit the three last night and then go full Jalen Brunson.
Well, yeah, he almost hit as many threes as the Blazers did last night.
God.
And he was one for one.
But look, I get Blazers fans being frustrated. And you want the
Blazers were minus 36 on three-pointers.
Oh God, I mean, ugh. The desire to assign blame to one person is like it's always been like, what the hell are we doing
here? I guess I will just use this as the reminder. This is what tanking feels like.
Yes. And this is why, look, I hate sounding like a jerk, but like this is what we were talking about last year. You're not ready for this.
Yeah, but you're not about that life.
You're not built for this because you've been spoiled. And look, I've been spoiled because we saw great basketball for a very long period of time.
Yeah, we did.
It's not fun, man. But this is I used the Shawshank metaphor last night on the show. You got to crawl through the 500 yards of crap to get to the other side. And you can't just be like, oh, screw it, and turn back around now. You're in the pipe, baby.
Well, where are we at in the pipe, though? If we're using the poop pipe analogy, where are we at in the poop pipe? Because 27 wins, 33 wins, 21 mm-hmm. wins. I mean, it should feel a lot closer than it is right now.
I think the big thing right now is it's 2 years of the actual tank. Like, this is the actual no BS. Buckle up, baby. And you're not halfway down because you can't see the light yet. Because the light is, hopefully, this upcoming draft. The problem becomes is if something goes wrong and they get bumped back and they don't get the guy.
Or guys.
Or guys, whatever it is.
Guys.
You get stuck in that pipe. And that is the risk. Is that you can get lost in this desert. Real easy. And the problem is sometimes you find the oasis and you go Phoenix. Remember Phoenix in 2014?
Yeah.
And they thought, oh, this is it. And they committed. And then all of a sudden, oh, this ain't it. This ain't it, Bob. Yikes. And then they were a disaster piece and they had to kind of retool again. You've got to be careful when you push in. And the flip side of that is you could be Oklahoma City right now who didn't want to push all your chips in last year and maybe a potential title window. And Chet Holmgren's probably out until the All-Star break now.
Yep. All right. Two months. Chet, fractured pelvic.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Before
8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, before a return to play is established.
Yikes.
Yeah, look, man, 7'1" dude on crutches for 2 months, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, he ain't going to be back until after the All-Star break. It's tough.
This is no good.
All right, coming up next, it's the worst day on the web. Look, if Georgia's going to get irritated about their players celebrating with players on the other team, maybe they should probably get irritated at their own players for, I don't know, refusing to learn how to drive a vehicle necessarily and properly. But first, here's Big Will Betts of the Sports Center update.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
Look, Kirby Smart's a hell of a coach. Georgia's a hell of a program. But he's kind of a D-hole for this.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah. Throwing one of your players under a bus. For those that are unaware, Jake Pope, DB for Georgia, after Georgia lost to Ole Miss, was his high school teammate that he went and celebrated with?
There were, it was, it's actually kind of convoluted. There's
friends. He's got friends, very good friends on Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And in the stands.
And in the stands.
And he went and quote-unquote celebrated with them.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. And then Kirby Smart in the post-game, or was it post-game or was that this morning?
No, this was today.
Okay, today at the press conference, I'll just let you guys hear it.
Yeah, what an idiot. Just stupid. I didn't see it till today, but he's embarrassed about it. He's upset about it. That's obviously a childhood friend of his. He grew up and played with there at Buford and knows him. Hadn't seen him in forever, but just not real smart. But to be honest with you, I don't have time to waste energy on that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like my focus is on Tennessee. I'm not worried about that.
I'm so not worried about it that I'm going to call it stupid.
Yeah, he was asked about it because obviously Georgia fans really upset because the video is kind of an elevated shot of all the Ole Miss fans storming the field. And then you see one guy in a Georgia uniform and he's like jumping and like yelling with some guys that two of them wearing Ole Miss jerseys. Mm-hmm. And the kid, everybody's like, how in the world do you do that? That game meant a whole hell of a lot. Number three team in the country loses to Ole Miss in a game that would have eliminated Ole Miss from SEC title contention, college football playoff. And now Georgia's in the thick of it going, we don't know if we're going to make it to the playoff or the SEC title because we've got two losses. And it gets a hell of a lot harder with a meeting with Tennessee this week, a rivalry game against the top 10 team in the country. That is not sitting well with the folks in Athens, Georgia. And I understand his frustrations. I'd be pissed too if I was a coach and just be like, dude, you just lost a game. Like, you are supposed to be taking this hard. But we haven't heard Kirby Smart call other players idiots for doing far more egregious things.
And that's the thing. Did somebody get killed street racing?
Yeah.
Okay. And how many different vehicular related charges have been filed?
I think citations and arrests, I think we're in the upwards of like 20 for like speed racing, stuff like that. I
haven't heard him call anybody stupid or egregious.
There's abuse in there too. Yeah. Don't forget.
Oh,
abuse.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the receivers kicked off.
Is that stupid?
That is idiotic behavior.
Or is that just no comment?
Yeah.
We'll let the legal system play that out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's like, Kirby, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up. Hey, you know what you say there is? Instead of placating to your stupid donors and your ignorant fans, guys, he's a kid.
Yeah. Yep.
He was celebrating with a longtime friend he hadn't seen in a long time. He wishes he would have done it underneath in the tunnel.
Yep.
There's a very, very, very simple way to handle that where you don't throw your kid to the wolves.
Here is Jake Pope on the interaction because he notes app this thing. I wanted to address the videos that have been put out after the Ole Miss game. First and foremost, I want to say sorry for the way it was taken out of perspective and has caused distractions and commotion for my teammates and coaches. This is not a representative of who I am in any way. In no way, shape, or form would I ever celebrate a loss in this program, and anyone who knows me well knows that. My longtime family friends had come up to me unexpectedly after the game as I was trying to get off the field to safety and were extremely excited to see me after the game. And I was also surprised to see them as well. And that's why you saw the reaction that I gave via the video. They are also very close with a former teammate and longtime friend on the Ole Miss team, which is why they have those jerseys on. They've come to my games as well. I'm Georgia through thick and thin and have never loved a group of guys more than I love the guys I go to battle with day in and day out. Lastly, and once again, I'm sorry to my teammates, coaches, and fans all around about the way that the video looked. And I chose to move forward. I think he says choose to move forward and get ready for the great rest of the season with my brothers. Go Dogs. He's Georgia thick and thin. He's transferred from Alabama. But I digress. I understand that explanation from Pope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people would be surprised that oftentimes the players don't take losses the same way fans do.
No.
But that's what he's saying is that I wasn't expecting to see them. I got excited because they're my friends.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's a 19, 20-year-old kid seeing a longtime friend that he hadn't seen in a long time. And look, man, look, I've had some, I'm sure you can say the same thing. I've had some really crappy days in my life, and all of a sudden I see somebody who I love that I haven't seen in a while, and guess what? I'm pretty damn happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the optics of it are really bad.
And again, well, think about this. What kid is considering optics?
Yeah.
No. I was going to say, isn't this the classic, like, perception becomes reality, whether it's right or wrong? It's like when you call out sick because you actually, like, have to go to the doctors or something, yet you post on your story on Instagram or Snapchat, like, oh, here's me in this 30 rack. People are instantly going to think that you called out work and you weren't actually sick. You were just going and partying. Like, everyone has to learn that lesson one way or another. This is just how he learns it.
Yeah, and look, the simple way is here is Kirby is the adult in the room. And instead of calling the kids stupid, maybe go, hey, look, he made a little bit of a mistake. The optics weren't great, but he wasn't undermining the program.
No, and it's not like he was a starter. I'm looking at the stats from that game, and I do not see Jake Pope getting on the field. The white defensive back was not part of the game.
So, and again, why are you throwing him under the bus, Kirby?
Well, because you can, because also he's
not playing. And maybe that gives you some sort of deflection from the fact that you just lost to Ole Miss.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's not it.
Huh.
He's focused.
Like I said.
He's focused on Tennessee.
It's dumb. It's
not all great. There's obviously other avenues that you can look at, and you could say, oh, wait, maybe I could be calling other guys idiots for their actions during a game.
And look, and that's just during the game, let alone off the field. Is Carson Beck catching any hell right now?
I'm assuming so.
He is a lot on social
media. He's going
through. No. I'm talking about from Kirby Smart.
He should be.
Is he calling him stupid?
He's probably going to the other team a lot. Not publicly, but privately. I can guarantee you he's getting called an idiot quite often in those meetings. I'm looking at the participation report. He did not play.
Jake Pope. Okay.
Yep. Did not play. DNP.
Did he tweet about the Saints, though?
Because
the other Pope is firing off tweets, man.
Hashtag Saints.
Let me check here.
Really growing that algorithm.
No, he has not tweeted about the Saints.
Really appealing to the South, and particularly Louisiana.
Damn. His notes app was the first tweet since September 22nd. He's been locked in.
I have a reeling suspicion that the...
Zero Dark 30,
yeah. I have a reeling suspicion that Jake Pope was not going to write that.
No.
And was instead given some notes to put on his notes app.
You will be tweeting the notes app.
You've tweeted in 3 months.
Yeah.
But you're going to do it now.
Oh, boy.
So.
And I can say it was from him because there were several misspellings in there. So that was not PR.
That's how they trick you.
That was a personal, that was personally written.
That's how they get you away from the chat GPT. It's like, can you give me an apology, but make it like it was written by a 10th grader.
Boy, that commercial that they're rolling out right now with the guy who's total bro in the office, and he writes the email, and then he goes, make it sound professional, and then it gets sent, and the boss looks at him. It's like, I don't know if that's a message we want to be sending, that, hey, any idiot can work for you now.
I've looked into that AI.
No way.
I'd be lying if I said I haven't.
Is that how you're writing your updates these days?
No, not. I don't know what you're talking about. I came up with disparaging all by myself.
I mean,
public reprimand.
These are all in my vocabulary.
I know words. I'm a comm major.
A word stuff.
Vocabularize.
Mm-hmm.
I like the words. I have a thesaurus.
Yeah. It's interesting. You want to talk about the NFL? Because we haven't done any of that yet.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much we need to talk about.
Well, we'll have a little hors d'oeuvre here. Maybe what the hell is going on with some quarterback choices around the NFL, particularly Indianapolis? That more on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. Well, as Dusty alluded to in the open show, there's a lot of what the hell is going on out there.
Oh, boy.
And in the NFL, what the hell is going on in Indianapolis? Joe Flacco opened up the game with a tremendous scoring opportunity. Just not for his own team.
No, Bob. Not at all.
Pick six out of the gate.
That's a tough way to start.
Made things spicy, right?
I guess spotting Josh Allen in the Buffalo Bills 7 is not the best thing in the world to do.
No, and Joe Flacco would go on to add 3 interceptions. And the idea of what this Colts season is, and The only thing I can think of here is that in the NFL, there's this belief of every year is different, every year is separate, and you just kind of chase whatever it is in any given year because of injuries or what your division is. And what I look, how you plan out in Major League Baseball versus NBA versus NFL, they're all very different.
Mm-hmm.
I am of the mindset that I think more longer focus needs to be adopted in the NFL, despite how short careers are and how short peaks are, because as much as we would love to have the Patrick Mahomes of the world that stay great apparently forever and somehow have this magic fairy dust of winning games, that's not the case. And so from a ownership management perspective, I get the idea of the year-to-year chase. Like, maybe this is our year. Even if it's not your year to win, you talk yourself into going to the playoffs because it's a crap ton of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you can't divorce those two things.
And it's a crap ton of money towards the players. Mm-hmm. And so the players don't want to be put in a position where you have one guy of the most importance of any position in mm-hmm. any sport who holds you back on a roster that is playoff ready to take money out of your pocket for those playoff game checks. Those are very big.
Because you've got DeForest Buckner. You've got Michael Pittman Sr. or Jr.
A.D. Mitchell, Jonathan Taylor.
You've got dudes.
You have more than enough talent to be competent and productive. But you also have a very young quarterback that you knew was going to be a developmental project, and you have pulled the parachute on him way too early.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in a position where Shane Steichen is saying, no, we're going to stick with Joe Flacco.
That was as of today.
You have, and the same thing is going on like in New York with Daniel Jones. Like, why are they still playing? Daniel Jones looked god awful yesterday in Germany.
And it sounds like they might be making a move away as they did not commit to Daniel Jones in their press conference today.
They did not, and they shouldn't because of the fact that.
Is it $40 million guarantee?
He has an injury guarantee. So if he gets hurt, his entire contract is fully guaranteed from here on out, and they have a chance to cut him at the in the offseason.
And not take the salary cap hit. Like, it's a full-on out.
They can get out, but just now is the time to put Drew Lock in there. But for Anthony Richardson, I think what Indy's looking at is, especially with the loss in Sunday Night Football to the Houston Texans, they are convincing themselves, hey, we still got an opportunity to backdoor.
Still right there. We can wild card this thing.
Despite the fact they are 0-2 against the Texans, but they don't have to play the Texans anymore. They could still win the division, for God's sakes. They could still win the division.
As insane as that is.
They're 4-6.
They're 8th in the conference right now.
And the Texans are 6-4. Okay? But there's going to be other teams that are going to be sitting there vying for that playoff spot that are also 4-6. Can the Cincinnati Bengals figure it out and not have to play a game where Joe Burrow has to be perfect all the way through? But if you are Indy, you've got to be looking at this going, all right, Houston has got their next three games, Cowboys, Titans, Jags. Those are all very winnable games.
They're worse than them.
And the Colts have got the Jets, Lions, Patriots. They're looking at it saying, if we can peel off one against the Lions, which they should not
win, either do.
And they will not probably win that game, see what Houston had happen to them. I can't wait to talk about that game. That game was awesome. Yeah. I was so happy. I turned the Blazers off, and I put the Texans and the Lions back on the big screen because that was incredible, and I may have killed Jared Goff. But Indy, at this point, you're playing the Jets next week. Put Anthony Richardson in because you need to see what the guy has, right? And you've got to continue to play because Joe Flacco is not going to be the guy that will win you a playoff game.
He's not good enough. If Joe Flacco was, let's go late career Kurt Warner. Like, you still got the goods.
Yep.
Like, maybe you're not, we're going Cardinals Kurt Warner. And you're looking around your team and you've got dudes. Then I get it. Like, you can sell me on that. You can't sell me on Joe Flacco right now.
They're going to go, but they will convince themselves that they can go 6-1 to end the year.
Here's
because they got the Jets, Lions, Patriots.
And here's why, though.
Broncos is a toss-up game. Then you have Titans, Giants, mm-hmm. Jags. All but that Lions game, they are winnable. Denver's playing far better, and that one could be a toss-up, but they got their glaring holes and weaknesses as well.
Dusty, they have not lost a game other than the Bills game by more than a score.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what the games they
lost.
Well,
Anthony Richardson included in
this. Yes, and then this thing. Here's what the games that they have lost. 29-27, open the season against the Texans. 16-10 at the Packers. 37-34 at the Jaguars. 23-20 at the Texans. 21-13 at the Vikings. This is the same thing as the Bengals, just with a significantly worse quarterback.
Yeah, who went pick six and then a pick to start the game. Comeback like, player of the year, my ass.
And here's the thing: if you're looking at like
Mar Hamlin died,
if
and
you're
finished second,
if you're looking at the thing,
came back
that if you're
played
in,
again,
if you're in that Colts
his
front
heart
office,
literally stopped,
or if you're Colts ownership,
they revived him. Yeah,
their point differential, they're minus 15 on the season.
Yeah, and they have a losing record. Yeah,
they're minus 15 on the
that's
season.
What,
like
that's
those
what
are,
they are convincing themselves of.
It's a coin toss.
The
it's the number of games that have gone coin toss against them. You're like the math has to start mathing at some point in time.
Mm.
That again, I don't think it's the right way to go. Like, again, if Joe Flacco, who's another like late career quarterback? Ryan Fitzpatrick in the Fitzmagic year.
Here is the thing, though, that. Where we don't see it, we're watching Joe Flacco throw the football.
What's the locker room?
I bet the one thing that Joe Flacco has over Anthony Richardson in spades right now is we have seen Jonathan Taylor's production go up. The running game has gotten better. That is so much on your quarterback getting you to the right play at the line of scrimmage. And I bet you Shane Steichen is just beating his head against the wall, being like, you guys don't know what I'm going through here.
Yeah. He just doesn't have the capacity to get us in.
Joe Flacco physically doesn't have it anymore, yeah. But mentally, that's not going away with Joe Flacco.
Look, you put
gets
Joe's
us
brain
to the right place
in Anthony Richardson, you know, then maybe you've got something going. But
how far are we on that technology?
Well, yeah. Elon would say he's got it right now.
The Neuralink.
We've said this with Anthony Richardson when he was playing. When were they at their best with him on the field? When they were running the hurry up. Mm-hmm. Like, they are really good.
Simplify.
Maybe you go 2 minute. Well, it's also the play clock. You get up to the line of scrimmage. The in-helmet communication stops at 15 mm-hmm. seconds. So you got from 40 to 15 to talk to him. Most of the time when you're in a traditional huddle, you are breaking the huddle at 18. You only got like 3 seconds to talk to your quarterback. If you run the hurry up, you're in his ear until you're ready to snap that ball and go. Maybe you just put Anthony Richardson in and just run hurry up. So Shane Steichen just be like, no. Check. We're going to check to inside zone. We're going to check to, you're going to go over the top and then boom, he can play, he can operate.
Go get Chip Kelly.
You go full on blur offense and your offensive line will hate you. They will, and you'll probably lose guys left and right.
Yeah.
But Anthony Richardson may be more comfortable.
Look, I'm just saying, hearing Jason Kelce talk about that time period
ever.
Is one of the more fun things. We'll have to find some time to talk about one of these days. But coming up next, hour number three, we'll talk about exactly that game, the Detroit Lions and the Houston Texans, and how Dusty Hara cursed Jared Goff.
My bad.
All here in hour number three on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.